When you look at time, you can say that it is God's mercy. When he gives us time, that space of time he gives us, it is to prepare for eternity. When we come into this world, that's when time starts. But we don't know how long our lifespan is. Different ones have different lifespans. But we do know that he gives us an opportunity in our lifespan to prepare for eternity. You see, eternity is very serious. It's forever. Once we enter eternity, we're going to be there forever. There's no getting out of it. So what we do here during time affects our eternity. Let's look at Psalms 39:4. It says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. So you could look at time like this. Time began when we were born, and it ends somewhere, and we're not sure where, but we need to realize that it's not forever. We don't live here forever. So he said, make me to know mine end. That didn't mean, Lord, let me know when I'm going to die, but what it means is that let me know how frail I am and that I'm not going to live forever, and I need to use wisdom with how I use the time that I have. A lot of times people don't recognize how important time is. There's so much wasted time doing frivolous things, things that don't count. But we need to see the value of time and how that tomorrow is not promised to us, but we have today. So the time that we have today need to be spent thinking of eternity, thinking of how I must live this day that I might meet my Maker in peace and I may be able to spend eternity in heaven. Because if we don't, if we end up failing to take care of the matters of our soul, we'll spend an eternity in hell. And we don't want to do that. There's no getting out of it. Do you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? How that the rich man had all that he fared sumptuously every day. He had no wants, so to speak. But there Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores, and he didn't even have enough concern to give him some bread. He didn't. But yet then when they both died, Lazarus went to heaven. So his soul had already, he had seen about his soul, but the rich man hadn't. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, seeing he saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom, and he asked if Lazarus could bring dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. He was delusional because, in fact, one little drop of water off of a fingertip would not cool his tongue. It would not do anything. It would do no good. But then he asked since that couldn't happen, well, then can he send him to my brothers that they won't go in? He had five brothers. But he said, Abraham told him, if he has Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And, you know, because he thought that if he'd send Lazarus back to talk to his brothers, they would hear him. But they said if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear Lazarus, even though he was raised from the dead. So you see how serious it is to be aware of what we're doing and how we're spending our time. Sometimes it amazes me how that people get real old and they continue in their own ways as though they're going to live forever. You would think after a while they would begin to get serious about their soul and do something about it. So we want to not be like that. We want to do our take life serious, because it is. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 9 and read 11 and 12. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Sometimes we don't realize how frail we are. I tell you, I saw somebody once, everything was fine. And then they got down, and it just made you to realize these bodies are so frail, and within a moment's time, things can change. So we want to be careful what we do with these bodies. Sometimes when you're young and you got a lot of strength, you don't realize it. It's, you know, everything's happy-go-lucky. But one moment, if God just withdraw one breath, that's it. One. So we want to see how frail we are so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. You have that?
Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. Mm-hmm. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all.
All of us, no matter what our status is in life, we have time. Time and chance happens to us all, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're weak or strong, no matter what. But what we do with this time is going to affect our eternal destiny. And that's what we need to be concerned about. Let's go now to Romans. Oh, I thought you read it.
For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them.
You know why it's a snare? If you're not ready, when you leave out of here, then it's a snare to you. Time can become a snare to you. At the end, we don't know. We don't know where our end is. And so it's kind of like a snare. It's just like walking across the field and there's a trap there and you don't know when you fall into it. The same way with our lives, because we don't know when it's going to come, when the end's going to come. But if we are prepared, then it's not really going to be a snare to us. But if we're unprepared, it will be. Romans 13, 11, and 12. How serious life is. You know, I like I was telling you all, I was always a serious-minded person. Life was just serious with me. And, you know, it kind of concerns me when I see people taking life so lightly. It's just as though we're going to be here forever, but we're not. Romans 13:11-12.
Mm-hmm. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light.
Yes. The time is far spent. The time is at hand. We need to put off foolishness, put off unrighteousness, put off the works of darkness. It's time to make a change. You know, tomorrow's New Year's. A lot of times people make New Year's resolutions. They say, well, you know, I need to lose some weight, so I'm going to lose 25 pounds this year. I'm going to lose 30, 40 pounds. Or they might have other things they see. Oh, you know what? I didn't do so well with my finances this year, so I'm going to be more careful with my money and my finances. Or they might have the relationship situations, and they might say, you know, I think I need to be more kind to my family, and I need to, work on things like that. And all of this is good. It's nothing wrong with that. But we need to make our New Year's resolution to draw closer to God. Or if we're not saved, we need to make it that I'm going to give my heart to the Lord this year. I'm not going to put it off any longer. So we want to realize that the time is far spent. We're looking at eternity. And if you really look at the different things that's happening in the world today, it points to the end of time. That is going to be a very, very serious thing. Not just one person's life ending, but the whole world. When the elements fail, the sun refuses to shine. Now, I'm telling you, we can't live in this world without the sun. You say, well, the sun's not shining today, but it's still shining. It's behind the clouds. But if the Lord stops the sun, we will be in trouble. There's no way. We can't live without it. But there's coming a time when all of these things are going to fail. They're not going to, when God gets through with this world and calls it into judgment. And it's not going to be a very pleasant sight, because people will be moaning and groaning and asking for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of the Lord. So we want to begin now. Start the new year. Make a resolution, so to speak, that I'm going to take care of the matters of my soul. I'm not going to go another year and let this go by or that. And sometimes you might be saved and you see things about yourself you need to work on. Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, let's go now to Psalms 31:15. Our time is in God's hand. We don't have control of our time. We have to do what we can with the time God gives us, but our time is in his hand. So he has a span. He knows right now how long our lifespan is. Somebody read that, please.
Psalms 31:15.
My
tasks are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me.
Okay, sometimes it seems like that somebody's just going to destroy you, but really, your time is, our times is in God's hand. But even with that, we need Him to help us through the difficult things that happens to us, people that try to carry us down or whatever. But our time is in God's hand. We need to realize that life at its best is short. We want to read the word in the word about how short life is. Let's go to Psalms 90 in verses 4 through 7. And then we'll skip down to verse 9. So, since our time is short, our life should be spent daily preparing for eternity. Because our soul is at stake. If we lose our soul, we lost everything. I've had losses. When I lost my daughter, that's painful. I still feel the pain of it. You'd think by now I'd get over it, but I feel the pain of it. But to lose my soul would be more painful than that. Our soul is the one most important thing we have. We may have houses, may have all kinds of things, cars and things like that. We may have nice clothes, we may have whatever we have. There's nothing more important than our soul. And for that reason, we need to take life serious and be careful how we spend our time. Did somebody get that 90 and verse 4?
90 and 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it's past, and as a watch in the night.
Keep going to 7.
Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like glass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up, and in the evening, it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled.
And it says, I'm trying to get to it, but you see, it's just, life is so short. My time is short. It may seem like it's long. Sometime, if you're anticipating someone coming and you're thinking, oh, you know, my best friend is coming to visit, or my sister, or my relative, or somebody, it seems like, oh, I can't hardly wait. It seems like it takes a long time. But in reality, it's not. Because it's short. Our time is short. Now with God, time is different. 1,000 years to Him is like a day. And a day as 1,000 years. It says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night. It's just short with God. But even though God sees that his timetable is very different from ours, yet for us, it's like dust. It's just like vapor. And it goes away. It says, it's like in the morning, it says, thou carest them away as with the flood. They are as asleep. You know, sometimes you get a little nap. That's very short. Even our nighttime is not really that long. In the morning, they are like grass, which is growing up. In the morning, it flourishes and goes up. And in the evening, it is cut down and withereth. That's the way life is. It just grows up like a little like grass, and then it's cut off. Let's read Psalms 89 and 7. And before you get to that, I'm going to read verse 9. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." And that's true. Our lives, we're kind of like telling our life story on a daily basis. But it's almost like somebody hears the tale. We've heard different tales. We talk about, oh, you know what? When mom lived, she used to do this and this and this. And we tell those tales of what happened, but she's gone. That's the way life is. We spend our years as a tale that is told, and then it's passed away. Chapter 89, Psalm 89 and 7.
God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
See, during the time that we have, we need to fear God, and we need to reverence him. Because he has control of our time. You can say, I'm going to do this. When I grow up, I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. I'm going to do this, I'll do that. But your time is in God's hand, and you have no control over whether you will be able to do those things or not. But what we have is today. We have today. So let's make each day important. And each day, let's act as though it's the only day we have left. If we live that way each day, we'll be ready for eternity. Psalms 39, 4 and 5. So you see how short time is. That's what these scriptures are helping us to see, that our time is very short. But during this time that we have, we need to fear God.
39.
Yeah. 4 and 5.
4 and 5. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, yes, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah.
Do you know what a handbreadth is? It's kind of like from here across, right? That's not very long, is it? Sometimes people can feel like they're a pretty important person, but if they recognize, wait a minute, my days is a handbreadth, you know, then they won't realize they're so important, because they need to let all their importance be in God. But I thank God that he is a merciful God. He gives us time. He deals with the heart. He woos after us. He directs us. He doesn't leave us in here with no way to figure out which way to go. He makes everything plain to us. This is the way I want you to go. It's through his word that we understand what the will of God is. And it's through his word that we'll be able to be prepared for eternity. It's through his word that we'll know just how to live each day. We learn this through his word. And surely we want to do all we can in his service. You know, I love the Lord so much. I don't want a day of my life to be spent in any other way but pleasing God. 2 Peter 3 and 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
read all the way down to 12.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasten unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Look at what's going to happen. These things will need to cause us to fear God and keep His commandments and do all we can so that we won't be caught without Him. So we will be prepared. I was thinking about how that if we're using our time as we ought to use it, then we need to be prepared. If I know that I'm going on a trip, I don't wait till it's time to go out the door to pack my clothes. Not usually. I pack them. I've been traveling quite a bit, and I usually kind of keep packed, but I've kind of slowed down from traveling. But when I was traveling as much as I was keeping ready. If I washed my clothes, and I know I'm planning to go to Honduras, I would have a suitcase ready, and used to go to Wichita every once a month. I'd have a suitcase ready. I'd wash them, and then I'd put them away, in the suitcase. And that's the way I would be ready. Well, the same thing with us. We need to be ready for this very time that's speaking up here in 2 Peter, the day of the Lord, because when He comes, it's no time to get ready. The time to get ready is now. So the elements, can you imagine what it's like? The people, when they see the Lord, you can't ask Him to save me now. It's too late. The elements, everything is happening. We live in Florida, and we went through Hurricane Andrew, which was the worst. We went through several hurricanes, but this was the worst one. Hurricane Andrew, we had gone to Monarch that year, my husband and I, and I don't remember all the children and all. But anyway, we didn't know that the hurricane was coming. So when we got to the turnpike, was leaving, it was in Florida, we were paying the toll, the lady said, the hurricane is out there. For some reason, we hadn't gotten the message. So while we were gone, I think some of the boys had started getting boards to nail up. You have to prepare for those things. You have time. They usually tell you, okay, this is the track is going on, and it's probably going to hit. They have pretty close. It probably going to hit South Florida on Thursday or whatever. And so people usually get their plywood and nail up their windows, cover their windows and all that. They're preparing. But suppose I decide that I'm not going to prepare. I'm going to wait until the hurricane comes. It's too late then. And I think I probably told you about one of my students. I was teaching second grade at the time, and one of the students' dad got killed in Hurricane Andrew. He was out, I think he was outside or something, and something just cut his head off. I think the child saw it, and that was such a trauma. But you cannot go out and try to prepare for a hurricane in the hurricane. You have to prepare before the hurricane, or you're just in trouble. And one of the houses a block over from me, Sister Ann, I don't know if you remember, that house just went flat over in the corner, across from, I'm forgetting, one of those people's name, that lived in that white house on the corner, right this side of me, between where you live and where I live. No, see, you know where my house was in Goose. Coming that little side street. Coming toward your area. There was a house there. It's a white and green house. And then across from there, the whole house went flat. Something was wrong with the building for it to go flat like that.
Yeah, it must have been wood.
I remember the house before it was fell, but it did. So anyway, the thing is, the point is that we have to prepare. Don't wait till the judgment to come to start trying to ask God to forgive you and to change your life. We have to start now. We are responsible for the time that God has given us, and we want to be ready when he comes. Let's move on. So, if we're going to be ready, we're wise. There are some people that are not wise, and they try to, they don't use their time wisely. They just go on and do, just live life, enjoy life. And they don't think about their eternal soul. But we need to think of our eternal soul right now and do something about it so that when the time comes, when the day of the Lord comes, like in this scripture, we'll be ready. Or when the Lord comes for us, when he stops our time clock, we need to be ready. Let's go to Proverbs 6 and read verses 6 through 11. So if you don't use your time like you should, you're not being wise. But we want to be wise, and we want to prepare for eternity while there is time and not procrastinate. Some people, they have good intentions. I will get saved. I will change. I am planning to change. And they keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until something happens. And the chances of you getting your soul ready is slim. You can do it. Like the thief on the cross, he got saved right there, right before he died. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But that's a chance to take. You don't want to do that. You want to be wise. Start at verse 6 and read to 11.
Proverbs 6 and 6?
Yes.
Okay, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travels, and thy woe as an armed man.
You see what they're saying? look at the ant, how the ant takes care of things. In the fall, he stores up, and he's ready for the winter. The same way with our lives. Let's prepare. Let's not wait till the last minute. Let's not continue to, but let's be like the ant. He doesn't have a guide or overseer or ruler to tell him what to do and what not to do. It's his instinct. But we need to be just as wise as that little ant. You don't have to worry about the cold getting him and him dying because he doesn't have food. He prepares in the summer or in the summer for the winter. Let us prepare for the winter of our life when the time is no longer. Psalms 90 and 12.
So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
That's what we want to do. Apply our heart unto wisdom. Use wisdom. Do I think that it's okay for me to just continue on in the way I'm living, knowing that I'm going to face a just God? That's not wisdom. So if we realize that I'm not going to be here always, my time may be shorter than I realize, then I'll apply my heart to wisdom and I'll be careful and live, take care of the matter of my soul. Let's not continually let the enemy trick us and fool us and say, oh, I have time. I'll take care of that tomorrow. No. Take care of the matter of our souls today. One scripture says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. We're going to get to that one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7 and 29. And it says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as they that have none. We have a short time. You can have these things in life, but be like you don't have them because you are preparing for eternity. That doesn't mean that you go and just ignore your wife and just, you know, I'm holy. I'm spend my time reading the Bible and no. You do all of these things, but you still do it even almost like you don't have it. It said, as they that don't have it, and it's a reason. And they that weep, as though they wept not. And they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. And they that buy, as though they possess not. And they that use this world, as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. So the time is short. Since the time is short, this be almost as though we don't have all these things, and yet we have them. But we're going to be careful to make sure that our soul is the number one thing we take care of. Number one. Put it first. Put God first. And then the Lord will help you to take care of other things. You know, there are things that hinder people. Sometimes, have you ever said, I'm going to do such and such today? And then you get up and something happens and your mind goes the other way and you, instead of doing what you really need to do, for instance, you say, I'm going to pay my light bill today. I know it's due. I'm going to pay it. Then you get up and you get busy doing first one thing and another. And guess what? The lights went off. Oh, I forgot to pay my light bill. Well, it's the same way with our soul. There are things in this life that will hinder us, get our minds off our souls, and get us focused on other things. And instead of spending the time that we need about the matter of our soul, we're doing this, that, and the other. I was thinking about how that things like entertainment, those things are distractions. The enemy is playing games with us, so to speak. He'll put those distractions in our face to keep us from taking care of our spiritual things, make us waste time with all these entertainment instead of spending time for God. Sometimes it's just the natural cares of life. Those things can be a distraction. It's not that we don't take care of our things, but we have to put them in perspective. We have to make sure we don't overspend our time on the shopping, the taking care of the house, all this is important. We have to do it, but don't leave the most important thing undone, which is our soul. So let's go to Luke 10 and 41. You know, I'm sorry. I should have had you read up a little bit so we kind of know what happened when Jesus was telling her.
Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him to his house. And she said, "Sister called Mary was also set at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?'"
So you see, this is what the setting is. Jesus comes to Martha, Mary Martha's house, and she, you know, they invite him, or he came. And Martha was trying to get everything. You can imagine. She wanted to make sure. I know if Jesus came to my house, I want to make sure everything's clean. I make sure all the table is nice and set real, and all the food was cooked and all that. That's what I do. But the thing that Martha did wrong is she was, it says, cumbered and troubled. She was worried. She was letting it get to her. She's thinking, it's just like, you know, I'm in this kitchen. I'm trying to get everything good for the master. And my sister, Mary, is sitting there listening to this. She's not helping me. She goes to Jesus and she said, "Don't you care?" I see she had an attitude. Something that had gone too far. "Don't you care that she left me alone to serve?" You know. And so he told her she was careful and troubled about many things. But he said Mary had chosen the good part, which should not be taken away from. I listened to, I think it was Brother Michael Smith preaching on, he mentioned this story, this happening from the Bible in his message. And he was saying, you know, now it's, you know, it's not that you don't want to feed your, what if Martha had said, "Well, you know what, Mary can sit there, I'll just sit there and listen, and nobody get no food." You see, it's a balance, isn't it? It was okay for her to do that, but then she needs to spend some time in the Word too, listen to his Word, and she didn't need to be so cumbered and a lot of those things. Well, these things can be distractions. We can do what's really good to do, and we can overdo it. We can put too much emphasis in it and spend our time too much in that and not spend the time we need in God and the things of God. I think the next scripture is Luke 21:34. But it's just to show how that we can have all these things that many of them are good things, but they can also be a distraction. And then some of the things that people involve themselves in are not good. There's no spiritual value in it.
Luke 21:34. Mm-hmm. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares.
That's right. So you can get involved in all these things. It says surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And we don't want that day to come up on us unaware. We don't want to spend our years and then we get to the end and we're not saved. Well, we want to move on now. Let's go to James 4 and let's read 13 to 15. So we have to resist the temptation to allow distractions to take up all of our time.
Go to thou, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time, and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and to do this or that.
Right. So our life is not given to us. It's not promised. Tomorrow's not promised. So we shouldn't just say, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that tomorrow. Next week, I'm going to do this. No, they advise us, the word advises us, say, if the Lord's will, because we have no promise of our life. Our life is like a vapor. You know a vapor is. It's just like steam, you know. It just appears and then it's gone. That's where our lives live. For those that are saved, we need to be watchful and sober. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:7.
But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer.
That's right. The end of all things is at hand. It could be our end, or it could be the end of the world. But we need to be watchful, and we need to be sober. You know, a person that's sober, they're not very conscious of what's going on around them. They're kind of, but not. And really, they're not too responsible, you know. But we don't want to be like that. We want to be careful. We want to be watchful. We want to be ready when it comes. 1 Thessalonians 5:6.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Yes. You know, when you're not being you're just living life and not being careful and concerned about your soul, it's the same as being asleep. And we don't want to be that. Our soul is the most, if you can't remember anything I've said today, remember how important your time is and that you need to spend your time taking care of the matter of your soul. If you can't remember anything, remember that. Time is short. Time is not given. Our time is in God's hand. And he knows our time span and how long we're going to live. We don't know that, but he knows it. But one thing we know, he's given us today. That scripture say, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. 1 Peter, I'm going to read this one, 5 and 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I don't think that's the one I wanted. Maybe it was 2 Peter. Hold on. Nope. I don't know. Anyway, we'll just let that one go. The last scripture we want to read is Hebrews 3:7.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. For your fathers kept you from proving me, and saw my works 40 years.
Yeah. So when the Lord deals with our heart, that's the time for us to move. Sometimes I'll get saved when I feel like the Lord is calling for me. When he deals with your heart, that is your time. Your and my time. So let's be faithful to use our time wisely to respond to the Lord while he's talking to our heart. It says, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Pray for me.